Ho, ho. Happy holidays, Cinema Attackers. Welcome to episode 49 of Cinema Attack. I am your host with the most, the Santa Claus himself, Derek Hare, and I have my two little elves with me. First, we have the man who's like the first in charge. We've got Bernard, Matt, a.k.a. Matt. What's going on, Matt?
I'm recovering and recouping and all ready to go to talk about some Christmas flicks with Tim Allen, a.k.a. Home Improvement, ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we have our main man, Curtis, here. Dubby Doubles, what's going on, Dub?
Oh? What's up, guys?
Yeah, it's episode 49, man. It's crazy. It's almost episode 50, which I think we're going to announce at the end, but we'll do that at the end where we're going to be doing it. It's going to be a little bit different than the normal format, but should be fun still in the same sense of thing, taking it a little bit easy for that episode. But, you know, is everyone's holiday shopping almost done? You know, how's you doing, Doug?
Unfortunately not. It's been down to the wire and busy as shit, but I actually plan to hopefully finish up everything this weekend.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. I actually just, well, I shouldn't have did this, but I actually cashed out a lot of sick time just to catch up on Christmas shopping. So I'll have a nice big check next week, but most of it will be going to Christmas presents.
Nice. Yeah, I did most of my shopping in November. I usually try to get done before Black Friday is my goal. So I hate shopping around the holidays, and I hate going to the mall when it's so many people and you're trying to get to what you need to get done. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to do stuff online and get stuff done in November and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I hear you. The thing with me, though, what happened, Garage House Pictures had this like big giant eBay sale, so I fucking grabbed a bunch of those. I got Ninja Busters. What the fuck's the other movies they put out? Intruder. Like
Spider's Web, Foes, Intruder.
Yeah, I didn't grab Foes yet. I might grab that later. They're still on sale. They're like 15.
It's on eBay?
Yeah, they're on their like eBay site, yeah. They're like $15 a pop plus shipping, which is like $2.
Why did you get that Spider one? That
The Web of the Spider. Yeah, I gotta still grab the Andy Milligan ones they put out. They're interesting lately. Look, I can't wait to get them in. Actually, Ninja Busters shipped. It's hopefully because the mail hasn't come yet. I hope it comes when we're done with this. That'd be fucking awesome. But I got a few things, and I actually picked up Fat Crazy Ethel, the remake by Brian Dorton there, the guy who did, like, Trashology.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to grab it for a while. You know, I actually am a big fan of, like, Trashology, and I always wanted to see the sequel. It's kind of pricey now, the pre-existing conditions there. Those are kind of like his love letters to John Waters cinema.
Oh, that's cool.
Did those movies, and it was interesting that he did, like, a remake of Criminally Insane. So, yeah, I picked that up. You know, I've been picking up, I hit up some of the Arrow sale, too, when I was going Christmas shopping. I'm like, oh, let me grab a few titles real quick, you know. Two in the bag. I actually needed Tideland for 2005, so I'm like, I'll pick that up in another one. But, yeah, you know, I've been trying to grab a few things for myself during this. It's just I went a little bit crazy than usual one week, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm still going to buy these fucking, well, as I call them, the future in-laws, because they're not married to either of my sisters yet, their boyfriends. They're only getting, like, Dunkin' Donuts gift cards.
Hey, whatever works.
You know, they don't expect anything giant because you fucked my sister, you know? You know? But, yeah, I still have to actually get my older sister a gift, too. But, yeah, that should be interesting, to say the least. How's everything doing? You guys have any plans for the holiday, the big holiday coming up? I know with everything going on, it might be a little bit different than usual this year for you guys. Do you guys have any plans for Christmas?
Unfortunately, mine's, yeah, ours is kind of up in the air. I know a lot of my relatives probably won't be coming in and stuff this year, so it'll probably be a lot smaller Christmas, just probably see my parents and small gift exchange, but fucking COVID, man. Gotta love it.
Yeah, it's about the same for me, too. It's at that point, well, one thing that I was telling you guys off air already, so it's like, yeah, I don't think we're going to have anybody over for Christmas either this year.
Yeah.
I asked my wife if we're going to her parents. Don't know yet. It's kind of like up in the air, too. I know I have to work Christmas Eve, so it depends how I get on Christmas Eve, I think it is, and go from there. But I do have Christmas off this year, so that's nice. Since I work Thanksgiving, I get Christmas off.
Oh, that's nice, at least.
Yeah, it rotates. So this is my year off.
Do you get New Year's Day off or Eve off?
Yep, I'll have, since I work Thanksgiving, I'll have Christmas Day off and New Year's Day off. But New Year's Day is nothing, whatever. It doesn't. Yeah. It's just like a normal day, but I get time and a half. Okay, that's no problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't work New Year's Eve, but I have to work New Year's Day. But it's like another day anyways. I don't give a fuck. They give me 8 hours plus time and a half. I'm like,
fuck it.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. Okay, pull my finger. I'll work it or I'll... Doesn't matter. Just a normal day.
Yeah, you know, and it's just... Christmas is just, you know, even though we're not together, like most of my family, we still, like, talk and stuff. So at least that we have that, you know. It's just a hectic time for everyone during this time, but I gotta admit, whatever you guys do, just stay safe, you know? You gotta be safe out there, especially in this fucking crazy world we live in. Because God knows what's gonna happen at the inauguration in January. Fucking could be all shut down again, because we don't know when this fucking vaccine's coming, you know?
Hopefully sometime soon. I heard for my hospital, we might be getting it in a week or so.
Oh, yeah?
And going from there, we don't know. I heard that, was it nursing homes and nursing home staff will be first, and then hospitals will be second for the first wave.
So, all right.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, I know I'm getting my shot, so I can't wait.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get it, too. I have to, because... Just fucking, I'm sick of fucking, well, I know we're still going to wear the mask and shit for a while, because it's not going to go right away, but.
Yeah, but you also don't have to worry about it now, versus, uh-oh.
You know, and, you know, if you do get it, you have a better chance of fucking beating it, too, so at least that's good, you know? Because, I don't know, because it's like the flu vaccine, it's like they give it to you anyways. Oh, last time I got the fucking flu shot, I'm like, oh, shit. I feel like shit the next day. Like, oh, that shit hits you hard, especially if you don't take it after a while. I usually try to take it every year now, but there was that one year where I missed it, and then the next year I took it. I'm like, whoa.
Well, they're saying with this shot, it's going to be a two-parter where you got to get a booster within 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the first shot, you're going to feel like shit for like a day, and then... You get better, then they give you the booster. That's what I heard, so who knows? They could change it.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens when it happens.
Yep.
But, you know, we're here not to be talking about this shit, because, you know, I don't really like to be talking about, like, this depressing shit. Anyway.
Same here. I'm done.
Holy jolly, Tom.
Let's talk about some Tim the Toolman Taylor. Now, before we get into these movies... You guys have history with the Santa Claus, like even like the first movie in general. Did you guys ever see any of these growing up?
I saw the first one when I was younger, but I never saw part two or three. Part two and three are first time watches for me.
Yeah, Dub. What about you, man?
Yeah, I've actually seen all three of these. Definitely have a soft spot for the first one. I was real young when that came out, and kind of grew up with that as a '90s Disney kid. So it was cool to revisit these. I hadn't watched these in years, so.
Yeah, same here. Like, this is kind of like a thing, my point expected of the sequels when I first seen them. I noticed the qualities definitely went a little bit down. They feel a little bit more polished. They feel very TV-like in the sense where you see, like, a lot of, like, well, we'll get into it. With some personalities and But every year, like, because you watch them every year in that sense where they're on TV and you're like, you know, I kind of like them like more each time I watch them, you know, in that sense where I kind of appreciate them a little bit more. Because, you know, if you just watch them all in one sitting, like on like ABC Family or whatever, the Freeform, I think that's what it's called now. It used to be like ABC Family, that channel. But they usually marathon these all the time. And it's like, the thing that I gotta say, big ups to fucking the man Tim Allen. You know, if you guys didn't know this, I'm actually a huge Tim Allen fan. You know, Zach is like the hater of Tim Allen, and he's like, fuck Tim Allen, he's not even that funny. He's fucking, Home Improvement was like a childhood staple of mine, watching that.
Yeah, me every too. Year.
You know, and, you know, Galaxy Quest, I love Galaxy Quest, you know. It's, Tim Allen's like one of those iconic comedians where, you know, it's kind of funny how he became a comedian because you hear the backstory. He was like a drug dealer and shit, and he,
yeah,
you know, he got arrested and he actually wrote like his comedy sketch in jail. You know, but, you know, I like that aspect of, like, I like how he came from where he came from, you know what I mean? And made himself a little bit better as a person, you know. I even like his show Last Man Standing, which I know a lot of people don't like it because it's a very different character from his Home Improvement character, because he's playing like this Republican, like, sporting goods guy, you know. He's like, he has three daughters instead of three sons, and it's kind of an interesting, like, difference between him and, like, the Tim Taylor character, which I kind of like. It's a little bit different. And the funny thing, got, if you didn't know, guys, is actually this is the last season of Last Man Standing that's actually playing out. And there's actually going to be a crossover.
With Home Improvement?
That's what I saw online.
Yes, cool. Where Tim Taylor is going to meet Mike Baxter. Tim Allen's going to meet his character. There's going to be two Tim Allens in the same scene.
Oh, no.
Which he's pretty good at, apparently. Like,
well, he does it in this movie, so, you know. So it could work. So, yeah, I like it. But, you know, if it was like the mid-season, I'd probably get annoyed too, man. It's the final season. Why not? You know, in that sense, it's not like it's going to jump the shark if it's the last season, because it's ended already. But, yeah, I like it still. But we'll see how that goes. I'll still watch it. I told my parents about it. They're excited that we all watch Tim Allen shit. You know, we might cover Galaxy Quest at some time. And, you know, I like these movies. And, you know, they bring some Christmas cheer. And they all have their own little individual messages with each movie. But that's enough blabbering. Why don't we get into it? And let's be back in a second after this trailer break. And Matt is going to join us to talk about some Santa Claus, the original OG. So we'll be right back after this, guys.
It was the night before Christmas, and children were dreaming of the presents Santa would bring.
Somebody's on the roof.
But this Christmas Eve...
Hey, you!
The unthinkable happened.
You killed him!
Did not.
Now, this night...
If something should happen to me, put on my suit, the reindeer will know what to do.
It's up to them...
Let's... go!
To save the day. Together, Scott Kelvin and his son Charlie take on the biggest job in the world.
Looking good, Dad.
And though it has its dangers...
Nice teeth.
He thought it was just for one night.
You're the new Santa.
I am not Santa Claus.
Ah. You put on the suit, you're the big guy.
What if I don't buy into this Santa Claus thing?
Then there would be millions of disappointed children around the world.
He doesn't want the job.
It was a dream.
But it's growing on him.
I've gained 45 pounds in a week.
Now he's getting into the spirit.
There are a lot of kids that believe me. I want some ballet slippers.
And getting ready for the biggest night of his life.
How could I have done this without you, Charlie?
You done it.
Walt Disney presents a timeless tale that will warm your heart.
I love you, Santa Claus.
I love you, son.
Lift your spirits and make you believe.
You really are Santa Claus.
Pretty cool, huh?
Share the merriment and the magic.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Tim Allen.
Santa?
The Santa Claus.
Okay, guys, we're back. Thanks very much for watching a little trailer. So we're going to be talking about The Santa Claus from 1994, directed by John Pasquin. And pretty much, I don't know if I said that name right, it's Santa Claus, if you don't know, Tim the Toolman Taylor, but not Tim the Toolman Taylor. His actual name is Scott Calvin, hence SC, which we know later on. He's pretty much a man and inadvertently makes Santa fall off his roof on Christmas Eve. And he finds himself magically recruited to take his place because he tries to make his son proud to don the Santa outfit to go around and deliver presents. Now, with Tim's character, him and his son are not going well. He's divorced. The wife and the psychotherapist, however you want to call him, with his nasty, ugly sweaters. he's trying to rebuild it. This whole movie's trying to rebuild a family and rebuild love and joy, pretty much. I've seen this movie several times. It's a fun little heartwarming film. Debbie, what are your thoughts on The Santa Claus?
Yeah, man, as I said earlier, this is one I kind of grew up on. It is very heartwarming. I like, basically, it doesn't dispel the belief in Santa Claus, you know, and it really plays into the adults not believing themselves. And kind of, I think, you know, from the older generation chasing their childhood youth, that's what was cool about seeing this. I think there's a few jokes and a little things that I can see appeal to an adult audience. Stuff I didn't catch when I was younger. Kind of like Tim Allen saying, you know, I lived through the 60s when he was like floating in the air. And, you know, little jokes like that I thought was cool that they put that in there to kind of engage both the kids and the adults watching the movie. Yeah, man, I really like the cast. You touched on Neil, Judge Ryan Hall with his nasty sweaters. He's fucking hilarious, man. I love his just, you know, overanalyzing every part of the situations and stuff. Really cool that they add a dimension. His character really has his own personality. Yeah, this is a fun heartwarming flick, man. I enjoy this one.
Awesome. Derek, your thoughts on this film?
Yeah, I actually saw this movie in theaters, ironically enough, and, you know, all the themes in it, I didn't really get as a kid then, of course, but this movie actually has a pretty, strong balance of, showing you what a divorced father's life would be like, you know, and it's kind of a good interaction where you get to see the, you know, how a kid would be involved in this, because Charlie as a character, you know, he at first doesn't want anything to do with his dad, really. It's mm-hmm. like that divorced life where, you know, you have to be put across between two parents, pretty much. It actually displays that very well in that sense, where it's kind of realistic in a way. It's kind of scary looking at this, because I know a few friends of mine that, you know, had kids with other people and they're not together anymore. So it's, you know, it's kind of like that same situation, and I could see that now as a grown adult. It's actually very well displayed, and I had to agree with Debbie, Jaden Reinhold is fucking great. A weenie whistle. you know, he's just great. I always liked him. It's kind of weird, because we actually, if you watch all three of these movies, because he's kind of a dick in this movie, too, and, you know, he's more chilled and relaxed in the second movie. But then we get to see kind of like that dickish side in part three again, where, you know, it's like the alternate future present day thing where you get to see kind of that dickish Reinhold again. So it's kind of interesting, that aspect where, you know, he's kind of playing different versions of the same character throughout this movies. And I like that aspect of it. And Tim Allen, he's great for the role, you know, like his reactions to like everything that's happened to him when, you know, the transformations of things are happening to him is fucking great. Like, look at me, I'm fucking all jello. You know, it's fucking interesting aspect. I really enjoy this movie. It's a family classic for me. You know, like I said in the intros, it's one that we always watch whenever it's on. You know, even to me and my dad type of movie, because I saw this in theaters with my dad because he's a huge Tim Allen fan. And I was like, I was watching the Santa Claus. He was like, "What channel?" I'm like, "It wasn't on TV, Dad. Sorry, we had to watch it a different way this time."
I like the whole play on words with Claus that they did in the film.
Yeah,
like when they gave him the card, he says, "Did you read the clause?" He's like, "No, I am Santa Claus." Yeah, he goes, "No, the clause, the whole lawyer thing." And they're like, "What?"
Yeah. It's like a contract. Yeah, I like that aspect of it where, you know, it's not just Santa Claus as the Santa Claus. It's actually a fucking, like, rule book. It's like, you know, you get more breakdown into it in the mythos of what the Santa Claus is and, like, the sequels a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I like how this film's, like, kind of, like, building on it, too, where, you know, he put on the suit. He has to become Santa Claus now. It's fucking that simple, you know? It's actually a great aspect of where the suit actually chose him, you know, which, you know, it's actually all goes back when we get full circle to the third movie.
I like the animatronics of the reindeer that they did in the first one. The way they all moved and how they kind of talked, kind of they did that mumbling. It was all practically done. I thought those were pretty well done how they did them.
Yeah. I'm not sure, because I know they worked on the sequels. I think that was Alec Gillis Jr. and Tom Woodruff that did, like, all the effects. And they were, like, students of Stan Winston. They worked with Stan Winston a lot. And Tom Woodruff actually played the Gill Man in the Monster Squad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, in Pumpkinhead, he actually played Pumpkinhead, too. So you got that aspect of it. You know, you got good effects guys on this. You know the stories about those two, like, when they did, like, the Thing remake, all their work was CGI'd over, so they made, like, their own movie, Harbinger Down.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool to see them work in, like, these type of movies, too, where they get to do, like, their own animatronics works and, like, makeup effects, which I think actually look pretty good in, like, even the sequels where we get into, like, some aspects where, like, Nazi Santa Claus toy guy.
But, Stalin Claus.
Stalin Claus, yeah. There you go.
And I will say that the CG, while some of it is definitely dated and doesn't hold up, it being 94, the early dawns of CG, you know, some of the fireplaces and some of that stuff actually holds up decently well.
Yeah. Like
I said, comparing that it's really on the forefront of this use of CG.
Yeah, Jurassic Park was like a year before this.
Yeah.
93. And, you know, I love that whole transformation scene where, you know, that fire furnace turns into a fireplace. It's like, what?
Even the morphing scene was pretty cool where he shaves. Yeah. Then all of a sudden his hair starts growing right back, turning gray.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no. And weird enough, Peter Boyle's in actually all three of these movies. He actually plays a different character in this one, though. He plays his boss in this one, and it's pretty funny. Bee sting. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that whole scene when he shows up late to work in his sweatpants and
he's like,
what happened to you, man?
He's ordering so much food.
He's ordering like hot fudge sundaes and shit. Everyone's ordering salads. He's like, and they're like, bee sting? Yeah, you know, it's great. You know, when the kids start coming up to him and, you know, asking for presents and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking reindeer start following him. It's like, what? And I do like the aspect where Charlie's telling everybody and Scott's like, don't do this because it's going to make everything worse. Because of that whole separation of parent thing. And I kind of teared up a little bit when he actually lost his visitation rights to Charlie. It was like, whoa. It's fucked up. But it makes sense. You know? Yeah,
it definitely makes sense. That would a family would do that.
Your husband comes starting to look like Santa Claus, trying to make the fucking... Because they don't know, because they're like, he's just making this shit up. And he's like, you're feeding into the fucking illusion, Scott.
Like, this dude's lost his mind. He really thinks he's Santa.
It's actually funny, because they actually redid the trailer as a horror movie trailer for this movie. There's actually...
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny.
They did that too with Uncle Buck. That was funny too.
We should watch that after we review these movies, but it's a pretty simple story, you know, in that sense where you get everything you want, you know, you get this awesome scene where, you know, when he's all fucking sanded out with his fucking suit on, he dances the fucking Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top, which I fucking love.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
And I want one of those slave, like those CD things where it makes hot cocoa and cookies.
I want one of those Elf jetpacks.
Those too, you know. I want everything. I want us to go to the North Pole. It's kind of so. I actually wanted to ask you guys a question, and I know Dubby's. But how did you feel about when they made the elves kids in these movies?
Man, child labor laws are going to be having fun with this one.
Yeah, it's definitely a different take, man. I don't know. It actually kind of works. I can see why they did it, I think, probably just from a maybe more politically correct standpoint. But like I said, for whatever reason, it really works.
Yeah, it definitely works with the kids, too. All I got to do is give them pointy ears, and they're elves. Elves are supposed to be small, little people, and they're supposed to be, you know, kitty-like and making toys and having fun. What's the best way to do it? Let's make them kids.
Yeah.
So Disney shouldn't get in too much trouble. So therefore, all right.
unless Victor Salva was the director of this movie.
Oh God. Then we have then we'll probably have the movie like Christmas Sallow or something.
They should have had Deep Roy as all the elves.
No. I already relived that with that terrible Charlie and the Chocolate Factory remake.
Yes,
put Deep Roy in part two in that machine there and make multiple copies.
Augustus Gloop, Augustus Gloop. Oh, I'm having flashbacks. Thank you, Dub. Thank you for that.
Sorry.
I fucking hate that movie.
Loompa, Loompa.
I like that one.
Yeah, the OG was good, but yeah, I unfortunately saw Charlie and Charlie Factory in theaters, and that was
where it's like Johnny Depp acting like Michael Jackson, like, "Hey, sit next to me, little boy." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Oh, it was like creepy, that one. But yeah, I have no, you know, it's a fun movie. What can I say? You want me to rate first, Dub?
You want me to
pop my cherry? It's a classic of the genre. Like we said, we could pick things apart in this one, you know, especially with like the aspects of like, you know, some of the CG might not hold up, or like, maybe even some of like the pacing might not work for some people. But overall, this is just a fun family movie that, you know, you can sit down and watch and enjoy in the aspects of it. And it actually has a lot of good, like, social commentary with, like, the divorcee situations within it, which I kind of respect. And it also builds to, like, aspects of the sequels where, you know, Tim's like, oh, I gotta go, you know, we'll get into it when we get into it. But I like that aspect of it. I give it like a 9.5 out of 10. I love this movie with a passion. And, you know, it's a great family Christmas movie, you know, in that sense where you don't really get a lot of these this time with the situations and stuff. You get like cheesy Lifetime ones most of the time now. So you don't really get Christmas event movies anymore in theaters. And it's kind of sad.
That's true.
All right, Dub.
Yeah, so, you know, as I said, kind of got a soft spot, nostalgic place for this, and maybe, you know, I was probably close to the same age as Charlie when my parents got divorced, so I could probably relate. You know, I have Neil psychoanalyze why I like this movie. But man, I enjoy the characters. Like you said, it's just a very heartwarming tale, man. It really plays on both the child's aspect of Christmas, and I think from adult side, it can make you kind of believe again, or you know, have that wonder, you know, that childlike wonder in your life again. I'm going a 9 out of 10 on this one. It's, as you said, man, it's a Christmas classic, and it's something that we really don't really get these days.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, that's like what everyone else said here. It's definitely one of those Christmas classics where you can watch with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, you know. If you're having a whole bunch of, like, good Christmas comedies that are all family oriented, this is a definitely must in that collection. You got all that heartwarming feeling going on. It's just a happy-go-lucky, feel-good Christmas film. And you got some cool aspects, like when Scott Calvin burns the roast. It just knocks me back to Home Improvement. I could just see Home Improvement right there. He does everything. And the whole trip to Denny's where all the single guys, all the guys with the kids. First they go to the Chinese restaurant going, you know, oh, they're closed. Then they're all at Denny's eating. I thought that was hysterical. Then they go into the back room, and then there's all the guys with their kids, and they're all like, yep, burnt the roast.
Guy had a bandage on his arm.
Yep, it's all wrapped up. That was hysterical. There's a lot of good, funny moments. I was laughing. So, yeah, I go around with Debbie here and give this one a 9 out of 10.
Nice. Good shit, guys. That was awesome. Good stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess now we're going to go with Debbie here with the Santa Claus 2. So here's the trailer for part 2, and we'll get on with the dubster, dubstep, dubby.
Somewhere in the Arctic.
Hold it! I'm getting something on the sonar!
Dwells a legend.
I'm getting strong readings from the Cap Rock, sir!
Waiting for the day.
What is it?
He'll come to town. He's the greatest Santa the world has ever known.
Love what you guys do, thinking outside the box.
Thanks, Santa. You're the man.
Well, they gave me the big belly.
He's made his list and checked it twice, but he forgot to read
the single most important detail in the history of Christmas.
The fine print.
I've got to get married?
Yes, it's Mrs. Claus.
Yeah! Walt Disney Pictures presents Tim Allen.
I don't think there's a woman out there that doesn't want a piece of this.
The Santa Claus 2.
What is up, y'all? We are back. Thank you all for listening to Santa Claus 2 trailer. So we are back, obviously, for that film from 2002. And I think this is Michael Lembeck's directorial debut. Sharing a lot of the same cast, which was cool to see. 8 years later, so kind of different aspects that we'll break down a little bit later. So basically this picks up 8 years after the original. After he became Santa Claus, now he's just been informed that there is now another clause in his contract, the Mrs. Claus. So basically he's pressed to find someone to marry before Christmas or he loses all of his Santa magic forever. So yeah, that's the basic plot on this one. Kind of cool how it sets up, you know, a new goal here and kind of a romantic side. Let's start with Matt. What was your thoughts on this?
All right, this was a first-time watch for me. I never saw part 2 or 3. And it was okay. There's a couple things I did not like about it, but there's a lot of things I did like. I did like how they added all the council of special characters, like Mother Nature, the Tooth Fairy, the Sandman, Father Time. All those characters, yeah. I like that. I thought that was kind of cool how they would all get together and have their meetings. So the whole fictional characters, the Easter Bunny and all them, I like that. I liked how we have our bad guy, which is Santa Claus again, but a different version, how they, you know, the whole cloning thing and turning a toy into a Stalin character or a dictator. How Santa Claus becomes an evil dictator because he reads the rule book and he goes, oh, you're bad. No matter what, everyone gets coal. And he starts building his army of giant, kind of reminding me of March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Yeah.
Babes in Toyland with the giant
toy soldiers, yeah.
soldiers. I thought that was cool. And of course, getting the whole Claus thing again with Mrs. Claus. Like, all right, let's see how this goes. And that was pretty cool. But the one thing I didn't like as much was how they toned down the reindeer. They kind of made them more goofy. And I know they're trying to get more with the kids and everything. And they're making them talk weird and the whole... And reminds you of Gremlins a little bit. I'm like, are you turning the reindeer into Gremlins? What the hell? I liked it. I thought it was cool. It's definitely a little bit of a step down, but still, it's still fun film to watch. And I like how they had the recurring characters in here. Tim Allen played the same Santa Claus. Judge Reinhold played the same character. Even the kid played him as an older child, and it shows how he progressed through the years too.
Yeah.
So, what's your thoughts initially, Derek?
Well, this might not surprise. Well, this might surprise you. This is actually my least favorite out of these three. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
The thing, because it's the longest one too. It's like 15 minutes longer than the original and the sequel. You know, it's like there's a lot of some of it's a snail pace. I don't hate it. It's still my least favorite though. It's just aspects of it where you know they kind of. You know, like, you know, it's like that they kind of spread it. And, you know, the thing I wish they did kind of differently is they kind of played more on evil Santa. Like, you actually see him maybe, like, do something that you wouldn't see aspects of, like, a good Santa. Like, the thing, he seems evil, but they kind of make him a little bit more over the top and comedic. I wish he just became, like, mustache twirling evil. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
You know. But, you know, in that sense, it's still fun. You know, the weird big ups again, like most of the original cast back after like so many years since the first one, you know. You know, when a movie sequel comes out years later, that gets kind of harder to do. So big ups that they actually did that, you know.
Especially so long, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, like getting even like the kid Charlie, you know, some of those kid actors end up becoming like drug addicts and shit, especially during the 90s. It's sad to say, but it's usually true.
Sad but true, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and you know, he becomes like the black sheep of these movies because every movie he gets less and less into it, and because they introduce the Lucy character, who's you know, Neil's daughter with Scott's ex-wife, which you know I like that aspect too, where you know she doesn't know that, you know she kind of. You're like, are you Santa? And she's like, they're like, no, you can't tell you. You know, but then at the end, it's kind of cute, and they do finally reveal the secret to her. You know, I love, like, all the fucking, the hall of fucking super figures. Like, you know, it's like the Justice League fucking holiday heroes.
Yeah.
You know, where they all meet and shit. Like, you got the Easter Bunny and Kevin Pollak as Cupid. And my favorite of them is the Molinator. Art LaFleur.
Molinator.
like it's so geeky when you see like Art LaFleur in this movie because you know he was like the warden fucking death warrant in fucking The Father in the Blob remake. It's like
He's usually a hard ass kind of guy.
Yeah, you know, like he's played Babe Ruth in The Sandlot. You know, he's a great character actor. And I like how he actually is it's kind of a fun role for him because he's playing the Tooth Fairy. Yeah. And you got that chick from, like, Talk Soup and Whose Line Is It Anyway, Aisha Taylor, as Mother Nature. Ugh, I wish I was in her fucking garden. I'm like fucking Alan Arkin in the next movie, trying to lay my head on her. You know, it's a fun sequel, though. Like I said, there's a lot of... And some of it does feel a bit longer, especially when you watch it over and over again. It's like, okay. You know, give me... Like, you know, like... Scott's like going on dates. Okay, well, that cameo. I'll admit, I do like the Molly Shannon fucking cameo where she plays like this Christmas nut. I'm just picturing her
that was
like
kind of a funny scene.
You know, I'm just picturing her as like somebody that would fuck like Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa. Fuck me, Santa. Fuck me, Santa. She's like one of those types, and you know, she kind of scares him. And she just starts. I would be scared too, to be honest. She's one of the, she's a nut.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, it's a fun sequel. You know, I do agree, like, the reindeer's voices, like, even, like, the one that sounds like Phil or Lil from fucking Rugrats. Chip, Chet, later, like, what the fuck is wrong with his voice? It's like Phil and Lil.
That was like a tour. Especially, was it? I don't want to say the word retard, but it does sound like it made him kind of weird.
He goes to the basement classics. He goes to the basement classics classes. Let's just put it that way.
Oh yeah,
You know. But it's still a fun sequel. I still enjoy it. You know, when I get my rating, you know, it's still going to be pretty. We'll probably all be the same rating on this one, but it's still my least favorite. You know, I still enjoy it though. Aspects of it.
So one scene that I thought was really just kind of sweet and stuck with me, though, is when they go to the teacher's party. He takes her on a date there and then ends up surprising everybody with all these toys from their childhood that they didn't get and all this. Like, it was just a cool, nostalgic kind of fucking scene that, you know, like I said, it was just a cool, sweet little moment there. I do like how they build on Charlie a little bit. You know, he's kind of the teen angst, as you said, kind of the bad boy in
this one. He's the John Connor of this movie.
Yeah, and he's on the naughty list. Like, it's kind of cool. You know, he's got a lot of shit going. He's got some... Santa's got a lot of added pressures to his plate here in this one.
You finish. I'll ask the question after.
Yeah, and I was just going to say the last thing that... I do like how it has more of an antagonist role in this one with the toy Santa. So I will admit he's a little too over the top and he could be a better villain, but at least there is kind of a, you know, something to go after that good side in this one.
Yeah. Did you expect who was going to be Mrs. Claus at the end of the movie?
No.
Like the first time, you know, it's kind of an interesting aspect of this where I didn't see that coming. Like the first time, I'm like, oh, the principal, oh, you know, and it's kind of cool. She is, but you know, she kind of warms up to him. You know, she sees, well, she would be a bitch to kids because that's her job too, man. You know,
yeah, I know.
You know, it's kind of that, love hate relationship where you have to do your job. And but I get it, you know, in that sense, looking at it as an adult, like, if I was watching as a kid, I'm like, she's a bitch, why are you ending up with her, Tim, the Two-Man Taylor? You kind of warm up to her near the end, though, because you see her change and believe in Christmas more. And I like that aspect of her character. She's a cool actress, too. She was on Lost in, like, the V-TV series. So I kind of geeked out, because I actually liked that remake of the V-TV series. That came out for, like, ABC, I think, back in the day. It only lasted, like, one season, unfortunately. But, you know, I still like that aspect of it. And, you know, I like how it kind of plays with the relationship with Charlie, too. And, you know, Charlie finds out, you're fucking the principal fucking Miller or, you know, Milton. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah, he really feels betrayed by his dad in parts of it.
You know... It's kind of cool, and, you know, I kind of like the Lucy is the arc. You know, she's kind of like the voice of reason to Charlie. You can't be mad at him forever. He is your dad. You know, I kind of like that aspect of the movie still. You know, it's kind of funny how she becomes, like, the main kid character in the third movie. We'll get into it in a minute. That's, you know, it's basic stuff. You know, I like the whole, like, battle between, like, the... elves and the fucking toy soldiers at the end too. Where they're like, let's go get them. It kind of reminds me of Hook in a way with like all the silly string and shit when they're shooting fucking shit at the pirates and Hook. I like that aspect. It kind of feels like Hook with all the city settings and shit too. And the music, it's kind of weird. It's like, did John Williams do the score for this? Overall, it's still a fun sequel. You know, like, you know, I like if I could, did you guys watch that during the credits when you see like what happened to the toy Santa?
Yeah, he became funny.
A little toy.
He's like, let's all dance like this. Tim Allen's the toy Santa cracks me up, like the facial expressions, like especially when he's drinking the coffee, the hot coffee. Oh my god, it's so good! Ah.
And that's something he really does perfect, and why he's think, so good in these roles. I mean, he's definitely a facial gesture kind of guy. He came from the school of Don Knotts that can make you laugh by saying nothing, basically.
Yeah. Oh, and I love that scene where he just beats the shit out of all the elves while they're playing football.
Yeah. Get out of my way.
He's tackling them, and he's got the football.
Yeah, it's fucking great. He's going to get him clotheslines and like throw him over his shoulder. Shit, it's fucking great. I do hate the Curtis character. I think that's what annoys me with the Seagulls. He's just an annoying character in some aspects, too. Where it's like, you got to do everything by the rules. I'm like, Bernard's like, shut the fuck up, Curtis. You're going to be the head elf one day.
Bernard looks like he would be at a Fish concert or something.
It's weird. He's like so much older in this movie, too.
Yeah.
It's weird. Because I don't know how old he was in fucking 94, but he still kind of looks the same, but you could tell he's older. It's like weird with that actor.
And that's a cool thing. That's another, he's a good character actor as well. We kind of talked about him before the show, but you know, he'd been in a bunch of random comedies and TV shows. David Krumholtz,
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, I was actually looking him up right now, and he's been in a lot of shit. A lot of shit, like we said, like Harold and Kumar.
Fuck Tenacious me. D.
He wasn't Tenacious D, that's right.
I forgot, he was in Adam's Family's Values. That was probably the first time I saw him. Like,
this is right around the same time. Yeah, he's a fucking kid that wants to date Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I think he was in, like, fucking Firefly, too.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, I never knew his name, but, you know, I've seen him in a million fucking things.
Yeah, he was on Firefly in the movie Serenity. That's what I recognize him from. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Yeah, but Charlie's Charlie. He's weird still. It's weird looking at Charlie as an older kid. It's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, man, how you doing?
Yeah, you can tell his voice is, like, changing. He's at that awkward time in his life anyway.
Yeah, he's like the Joey McIntyre era, when Joey McIntyre from New Kid's voice finally cracked.
Hey, but, guys!
You know, it's like a great... but yeah, you know, it's a simple sequel. These movies are very simple in plot. You know, this one's theme is pretty much finding love. Rediscovering love. That's pretty much the main theme of this one.
That's more on the romantic side, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. Let's go Matt first on this one.
All right. Again, this one was like a little bit toned down for me. Still fun. Had some issues with it. So I'll probably give this one probably an 8 out of 10. It still had some good funny moments. Still got some good stuff to it. But, again, I love the Dictator Santa scene. The Dictator Santa.
Dictator Satan.
Oh, boy. And I liked all that whole aspect of that. I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah, 8 out of 10 for me.
Nice. Derek?
Yeah, you know, it's a movie. It plays with a lot of, like, love things. I think it's a little too long for my... For, like, these type of movies, it's a little too long for me. I like them, like, an hour and a half tops, these type of movies. In there, done there, does everything. I understand this one build on it, because it does have a lot going on. You know, you got, like, what's happened in the North Pole. Plus, you got the love life. Getting back into the love game. In that sense, where, you know, it deserves to be a little bit longer. But overall, I still rate it pretty high. I give it, like, a 7.5 out of 10. I really do dig it still.
Nice. Yeah, I'm coming about right at you guys on this one as well. I do agree that it's a step down, just as far as it just doesn't have as many of those just funny magic moments. It feels a little more forced, I think, probably in some scenes. I do appreciate it's a little more polished, and you can see where the CG and some of the effects have advanced. I do like the whole North Pole aspect. We get a lot more of North Pole in this one, and of course it carries on to the next one. I do enjoy that factor of it as well, but I'm coming at 7.5 as well. Pretty good little sequel.
Nice. Nice.
So, if you want me to lead the way...
Yeah,
Yeah, Jack Frost will be back singing duets with Derek for Santa Claus Part 3.
I wanna be a part of it. North Pole, North Pole. We'll be right back after this, folks. Dun, 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 boom, boom. Yeah, boom.
The first clause.
Killed him.
Did not.
Change the face of the holidays.
It's the Santa Claus.
The second clause proposed a challenge.
I've got to get married?
Yes, it's Mrs. Claus.
I don't think there's a woman out there that doesn't want a piece of this.
This time, Christmas is getting Jack.
Jack Frost, you are hereby charged with attempting to upstage Santa Claus in a manner that is both willful and malicious.
Excuse me. Did you just accuse me of being skillful and delicious? I'm tired of playing second fiddle. I'm going to be Santa Claus.
Jack, you gotta let this go.
You get TV specials and the postage stamps and the army of toy-building yes-men. What do I get? A few runny noses and some dead citrus.
This holiday season, the most powerful clause of all.
The escape clause.
The escape clause.
The escape clause.
Will be triggered. Sending everyone back in time.
Ho, ho, ho.
Somebody's on the roof.
Hey, you! That coat belongs to me!
And it will knock one Santa out.
You hit me with a shovel!
And let another slip in.
You tricked me!
You're not Santa anymore. You're just a guy who smells like a cookie.
This is so wrong!
On November 3rd...
We'll call Christmas Frostmas.
The future of the holidays will be at stake.
I've done it.
What have you done?
And the final chapter will begin in the greatest Santa story ever told.
I'm gonna make everything good again.
Walt Disney Pictures presents... Tim Allen.
Give me a status report.
Your pants are on fire.
Yes, they are.
Martin Short.
I'm Jack Frost.
Okay, chill.
I invented chill.
Hey, Mom.
Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
Ho, ho, ho.
And we are back, everybody. That's right. For the last film of the night from 2006. The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, which, it's a very interesting, you know, this is like 2 years after the last one, I think, or 4 years, three or four, something like that. But yeah, it's directed by Michael Lembeck again. Most of the cast comes back again. And this one's pretty much, you know, when we first introduced Santa, he's married to Carol, Mrs. Claus now. They're having a baby. A lot of things are happening. You know, it's a hectic time getting ready for Christmas. Carol's kind of like going through like those mood swings from being pregnant. She wants to be around people her size. She says it right out. So Scott's coming up with like this plan to have like the in-laws coming over. You know, Carol's parents. And, you know, a lot of other people come along, like his ex-wife and Judge Reinhold and Lucy end up coming over, too. And then we have, like, another council thing where we introduce to a council member of the figures of, you know, whatever the fuck they're called. we're introduced to the other council member that we didn't get to meet yet, and that is Jack Frost, who, you know, is kind of like, I want my own fucking holiday, yo. I got a whole season, but I want my whole holiday. I'm like the fucking the showrunner for the main event. You know, that's the way he was describing it. You know, in that sense where he wants to be, like, in the spotlight more, pretty much. And we get to see that. And, you know, at first they're like, we're going to suspend you, Jack Frost. But, you know, he kind of talks Santa into giving him another chance and giving him, like, a community service thing where he's going to help him during the holidays. But, you know, like, during, like, this meeting, he finds out the aspect of the escape clause, which he's, like, thinking in the back of his head, he's going to learn about this and what the escape clause prevails. I won't reveal what it is yet, but pretty much you go, Santa could go back in time and stop, and he could stop being Santa Claus forever. And this ends up kind of happening in the movie, and it turns into like this real past, like, aspect of kind of like an altered reality, kind of a altered prison time, which kind of brings into like that Back to the Future 1985 part, from Back to the Future Part 2 aspect, where things are changed. Scott's not who he was, and the characters that are around him are different than they were in regular present day. And, you know, I kind of like that aspect of this one. I'll go first with my thoughts on the movie. The thing I like about this, it's kind of, it goes back to the original in a few scenes, which I kind of like. And you get to see, like, the versions of the characters from the original, if they were still those characters from the first movie in present day, in this altered reality. It doesn't build too much on it. It's kind of just enough, and I kind of like that aspect of the movie. And I do kind of like the aspect of what Jack Frost ends up doing in this altered reality. And I kind of like how Tim's like kind of realizing, you know, it's time for me to make it right and get back to being Santa again. And I kind of like that aspect of it. It's kind of like, they already described it, it's the Wonderful Life version of this movie. And I kind of like that aspect of it, but let's get Dubby's perspective. What do you think about this, Dub?
I mean, off the bat, yeah, I got to agree with that. You know, it definitely does the Christmas Carol, Wonderful Life thing, which is cool, man. That's a classic thing to do with a Christmas film, and you know, I think that's a little nod they did here. I do like the additions to the cast. I do like her, the in-laws there, you know, with Alan Arkin's hilarious. And
Margaret, yeah.
Yeah, and Margaret, who's, yeah, been in a million things back in the day as well. So that was cool to see, you know, some new added people. And honestly, I've always been a big fan of Martin Short. Loved, you know, all the way back to SNL, the Edward Grimley, and I like the Jiminy Click stuff. And so I've always been a fan of him. I think he's a talented, funny guy. And for me, it was kind of a fun throwback to my childhood, seeing those two guys in Jungle to Jungle, which was a terrible movie, but I liked it when I was younger. But those two guys were in that together, Tim Allen and Martin Short. So I like seeing especially the interactions between those two. I think they work really well together. I think there could have been more as far as the story goes, but it still keeps your attention. It's a little bit shorter film and just, you know, fun, family-friendly time.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of agree with that. Like I said, I wish it had a little bit more delve into, like, more of, like, what was going on with, like, the past reality, like, the new reality in that sense, where it seems like it could have benefited from, like, 10 more minutes, so, like, maybe he went to go find Carol and some aspects of it a little bit more.
Yeah, they could have definitely delved more in the 94 area there, because that was really cool seeing all those scenes.
Yeah, but Matt, what about you, man? It was first time watch.
Yeah, some parts were interesting, and just some parts felt like I needed more of. The whole turning Santa's workshop into Canada, that was funny. All I could think of was moods running around in Santa Land. That's what Canada's like with the in-laws. But then they go into Jack Frost's character, where he's sabotaging everything. And then, you know, of course, taking the costume. But that was near the end. I'm like, they should have put that, I think, more in the middle and made it more of a story based on Jack Frost being Santa and then going through the whole rest. But we get that kind of near the end and kind of like a quick boom, boom, get it back, we're done. Oh, I kind of wanted more of that than anything else. And the whole, again, bringing all the characters back, I thought was cool. And again, this one's probably not my favorite of the three, but it's okay watch. It's nothing like, ooh, it's nothing like the first one, but I think this one goes down a little bit for me.
Actually, ironically enough, I would have agreed with you. Like, it was the first time I've seen this too, Matt. I used to be more fan of Part 2 over this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one gets better with age.
Okay.
You know, it's like the more times you see it, the more you like it. And that aspect where I think, you know, I kind of like the aspect, you know, I like the Jack Frost dynamic in this one. I think they could have I guess he was like building it, like if he become, but you know, it's not about him being Santa. It's about Scott trying to get the coat back and fixing what Jack Frost did.
Yeah, I wish they did more of that. I wanted more, like again, of the 94, where now we see his character being more human, and we see like, you know, his son now being kind of a troubled, probably troubled teen. The North Pole turn into a Disney World type thing. And it's like, oh, I wish we had more of that. I thought that was, I think it would have been more cooler to see all that stuff and have more of Jack Frost as more of a villain than just, oh, now I'm Santa and his weird singing. Like, okay, we're at the North Pole. North Pole. And you can see all the elves. They're all unhappy working there. You can tell that's going on.
They made the reindeer's fucking pen zoo.
Pen zoo.
Yeah, I get you. You know, the thing I like about the aspects of it, though, is, you know, it kind of works in the sense where, in the storyline, where he still remembers everything that, you know, he still remembers that he was Scott Calvin from, you know, the old reality, the aspect where, you know, he's like, what the fuck happened? And I kind of like that aspect where he finds out scene by scene what happened, in that sense.
And also, like, too, is with Jack Frost being Santa Claus, they said it was, what, 12 years since he's been Santa?
Yeah.
What do you have to do with a Mrs. Claus at the same time? Because I wonder how long the time span was for the second movie when he became Santa. He had to have a Mrs. Claus.
You never know. He could have probably just married some dirty hooker.
Probably.
You know.
Or since he's technically not a human character, he's more of a
He's already a mythical creature, too.
He probably doesn't need it. I don't know.
I'll buy it. You know, our luck, you know, he probably just banged.
Or it could have been like he's at that last time span where, like, oh, now you got to get a clause now. You got to get a missus. Too late. Yeah. Tim Allen's taking his suit back. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird, you know, you get that with, like, a lot of, like, the movies we watch, too, though, so, you know, I'll buy it, you know, it's kind of like that stupid Mamba Jumbo shit in, like, horror movies, too.
Yep.
Since we're, you know, like, even, like, some of the Sci-Fi Channel movies, like, oh, that happened, okay, I'll buy it,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
I still like it, I forgot to mention that Michael Dorn from Star Trek plays the Sandman, and I forgot to mention that during the fucking... I like that character, like the scene where he goes to get the, you know, the in-laws.
He falls asleep.
Yeah, he falls asleep. I like that his character aspect of it. And he's like, hey, I'm Sandy. And, you know, like, hey, you look like Father Time. He looks nothing like Father Time. You know, it's fun. Alan Arkin adds a lot to this. I love Alan Arkin. He's so fucking, like, old school hilarious. It's fucking great. He's like that old school father figure. He's like, well, I'll fucking help build this. Get the fuck out of here.
You know, that Don Rickles style. That's just awesome.
Yeah, he's great. And like if you guys haven't seen Little Miss Sunshine, you should just watch for Alan Arkin's performance. It's fucking hilarious, in a weird dark tone.
Which the girl from that is actually in this film.
Yeah, Abigail Breslin. Yeah, she's one of the elves. Like during Carol's class, you know, she's telling the story back.
I instantly recognized her for that, and then of course she's been in a lot of stuff as she's got older too.
Yeah, and you know what's the funny thing is they make Lucy like the electric wire from Jaws 2 in this movie.
Yeah,
foreshadowing. Your hugs are so warm, Lucy. I like that aspect too, where you know. You have that. It kind of goes into the Jack Frost mythology too, where you need to warm his heart, and she does. You know, I do like when when he freezes Judge Reinhold and the wife. You know, it's kind of cool, like that aesthetic where they look like popsicle. Judge Reinhold in this movie, when he's just doing like yoga classes with the elves, breathe. When you hear, like, the Zen music in the background. But, you know, it's fucking... And then after he gets unfrosted, everybody group hug!
Yeah, I really enjoy his character, man. He's definitely comedic relief in these films.
Yeah, I agree with W too. Like Martin Short, who else would be perfect to play Jack Frost? You know, it's great. Like even with the spiked slick blue hair and shit. Mm-hmm.
And to me, what's cool about his performance in this, he reminds me of kind of one of those old Rankin claymation, like almost like a Heat Miser performance, you know, just over the top animated cartoon performance, but it works so well for his character.
Yeah, I like how he, like, 1 minute, you know, he's kind of like that character where he's not actually a bad guy if you kind of look in the perspective. He's just kind of
lost in a way.
Because it's kind of goes, it's kind of the mythological thing with Jack Frost as a character. If you ever watch like the old Rankin-Bass like Jack Frost special, where, you know, he actually had like a loved one and shit, and he lost like the one that he loved. That's why he's so cold-hearted, in a sense where he's kind of cold to everybody for that reason. It's kind of, I like that aspect where he brings that to the character still. And, you know, like, he's like, I like how he's diabolical. Like, he's plotting behind the scenes. Like, so, you know, you're going to take care of this tree and nurture it, Carol? You know, like Scott does to you? You know, you're number one elf, Curtis. You know, trying to get the information. I kind of like that aspect. And he's like, you could be my elf one day. It's just fucking Lucy when he first meets her.
I like the Hall of Snow Globes. And it goes into the room there with the Red Bull. What was the drink that he had? It was something. It was a play on words with Red Bull, though.
Red deer, because it had like a reindeer, like
fucking. Yeah. So I don't know if it was like Red Deer or I forgot what the drink was, but I thought that was funny. But then you go into the Hall of Snow Globes, and these globes are everywhere. I'm like, that was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I like the aspect too with the escape clause is. It's like, you have to get his snow globe and use it, and he has to say, "I wish I wasn't Santa Claus at all."
Right.
You know.
Which is cool. The snow globes really play a significance all the way to back to the first film. You know, that was his way of Charlie's way of contacting his dad. So it's cool that they all have this special magic.
Yeah, and you know, for more foreshadowing, he gives Lucy one where she warms the snowman up. You know, it's exactly. Like foreshadow. You know, it's fucking cool in that sense. You know, the thing I do kind of agree, I wish that Charlie was in the movie more. That's my, you know, kind of builds, especially maybe in like the more reality scenes. Maybe he went to go see Charlie again. I could see like another scene like that. I wish there was kind of more like It's a Wonderful Lifestyle scenes where, like, he actually finds Carol and she's like married with another person or somebody to make it even worse, to try to get the urge to go to the North Pole more and fight Frost off, you know? Which, you know, it still plays well, but I wish there was a little bit more in those scenes too, in that sense. But overall, I still kind of dig it, you know? And it kind of ends on like It's a Wonderful Lifestyle ending where everybody's coming to help him at the end, like, you know, Charlie comes and brings, like, all the fucking other historical figures and shit, you know, it's kind of like that It's a Wonderful Life ending. So everything, you know, and they have little Buddy Claus. Aw, like, oh, he named him after Alan Arkin. It's so cute. You know, overall, I still have fun with it. Guys, ready to get into some ratings?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Start with Dub.
Yeah, so this was a second time watch for me. It was a fun revisit, man. We did kind of touch on the negatives. I think they could have delved more in the story, maybe more into the Jack Frost thing. But as far as just the characters and performances, it's still a fun flick. Still has that magic, man, that only, as much as I hate Disney, part of me, but I have a love-hate relationship with them because, I mean, they do have a modest touch when it comes to this Hallmark moment kind of stuff, man. They can do that stuff. But, I miss some of the characters as far as Bernard. I would like to see him return in this.
Yeah.
Just a minor, you know, complaint on that. But overall, it's fun. I like how it's more North Pole aspect and how the day-to-day operations of how it's going. And, I'm going like a 7 out of 10 on this one. Still pretty good little flick.
Yeah. Matt?
Yeah, I do have some minor complaints on this, but it is still a fun little entertaining film. And I wish they brought Rudolph into the mix somehow, where they had that one reindeer named, what was
Jet.
It, Nate? Jet. Like, oh, they're doing perfect if they know, like, Rudolph, and then all of a sudden he finally becomes a strong enough reindeer to help be in the sleigh and be like, you know what, we're going to put you on the front. And all of a sudden he gets all happy and his nose glows. I'm like, that would have been awesome. But we don't get Rudolph at all. But okay, whatever. That's just a little meh. I just wish some things were a little bit longer than others. But again, I go with W in this one. I give this one a 7 out of 10. Maybe down the road again, like how you say, Derek, after age, after watching more, it gets better and better. But right now I'm going with 7 out of 10.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually rate this the same as I did the second one. I give it a 7.5 still. You know, it's they go together for me, like these two sequels, in that sense. They're not as good as the first one, but they still have, like, good moments within them. I just like this one a little bit more for the, you know, the Jack Frost aspect of it. I kind of like that. He's kind of more of a, you know, in kind of like a smarter adversary than Toy Santa, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that dynamic, and I kind of like the It's the Wonderful Life ass. I wish it was a little bit, like, I agree with you guys completely. You know, it's not like I disagree, you know, in that sense where I wish there were some things that were longer also. But, you know, I like the characters still, you know. It's still fun in that sense where, and I like the new characters they added, like W said, like Alan Arkin and Anne Margaret. Jack's snipping at your nose. Say that line again. Just that line. Yeah, I like that aspect too. You know, it's fun. It's just a fun little movie. Like, so 7.5 out of 10. Like, you know, I really enjoy them both. I enjoy them both the same. But, you know, there's some aspects of part two that are like, oh, like, love. No love for me in my life. Yeah. But overall, still fun sequels. You know, they're better than what you think, like, sequels that come, like, years later would be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, some sequels that take, like, years to come out.
Oh, and they're so bad, you're like, why bother making it?
Yeah, it's like you know what's the worst sequels, though? Those ones that come, like, direct to DVD, like, fucking, I think Bulletproof 2 is one of them that just came out. I'm like, what? And they cast,
like, I never knew it was a Bulletproof 2, oh boy.
Yeah, and, like, Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, God.
Which actually is not that bad. Just don't go into it thinking it's, like, Kindergarten Cop 1.
Yeah, I never saw, I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, I don't think I'll hold off.
Yeah, I saw the trailer too, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't look too bad, but I don't, you know, when you're thinking of, like, Kindergarten Cop, you think Arnold, and this one's kind of different, but, you know, in that aspect, you know, maybe I'll give it a shot if it's on, like, TV or cable sometime.
Yeah.
You know, but I wouldn't buy it, you know. But
it doesn't feel like a complete cash-in, basically. They're actually trying to continue the story or add something there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like one of those sequels that we mentioned, let's put this out on DVD. Let's do it now. Do it. Get it out there. Do it. You know, right. You know, these still fun. They have actors that we know still in them that actually do some fun performances within them. So that's good, at least.
I'm surprised they haven't done a Jingle All the Way Part 2, like the father trying to find, like, a PlayStation 5 or something.
Oh, no.
Or new game system.
You never saw Jingle All the Way 2?
There is one?
Yeah, with Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, God, no. Okay, they make that a Jingle All the Way 3, then. Looking for, like, a PlayStation 5.
Oh, that's what I call a recasting right there.
From Arnold to Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, God, like, nope.
What's the complete opposite we can go? Let's do that.
Then they're all rethinking. Maybe we should give Santa Claus 3 a 7.5 now.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't do that franchise. You know, I'm glad we didn't do the Home Alone franchise, because a lot of those sequels are fucking terrible.
Yeah, the first two are the only watchable ones.
And, you know, Part 3 is actually a masterpiece after you get through, like, 4 and 5 and 6.
Yeah, I stopped at 3, so I can't imagine, man.
You know, Part 4 has French Stewart in it, so you know how bad that is.
Whew.
They know. But that was fun. That was a fun show. I'm glad you guys dug him as much as you did. So that's good, at least.
And, all right, you know, yeah.
It brings the Christmas cheer. You know, these are fun movies. You watch, you know, I actually ordered the Blu-ray set from, like, Disney of all three of them, which hasn't come yet, which sucks, because that's the original way we were going to, well, you know how we watch things around here. But, you know, we got the movies anyways to watch, so at least that helped us. Big
sharing
shout out
is caring.
Big shout out to the Secret Santa out there that made it possible for this show to happen, and you know who you are.
Thank nudie. You.
Yeah.
A little nudie.
We'll leave but out it, the milk and cookies.
Hell yeah.
We'll get some soy milk and cookies.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Because you said you're lactose intolerant.
I did, didn't I? I like that scene, too. We could have talked about that movie for hours. I like every scene of that movie. But, yeah. What's next, guys? Episode 50.
The big 5-0.
A deep dive, I believe.
Yes. We are doing a deep dive. As you guys, the listeners, know, I used to have a show that's no longer around, Celluloid Dissections, which was more of a deep dive in the show, which this one, I kind of miss doing that. It's kind of like the aspect where, you know, we used to have this show where we did small, short reviews, but in this one, I go into all the research and dig into the plot and tell you plot points, and I'm actually reading the novel of the biography of this director that we're doing. On this certain movie, and we are doing Matango, a.k.a. Attack of the Mushroom People, for episode 50, where not only are we all going to watch the movie, I'm going to go through the movie scene by fucking scene and give you some history of how this movie progresses, and the guys are going to butt in and, like, hey, yeah, I like that scene a lot, you know? Yeah, no, I like that scene too. And I like that scene too. You know? And I think it's a good change of formula for the show where every, like, few episodes, maybe we do, like, a deep dive episode on a big movie that we all love. And I know the guys, have you guys ever seen Matango before?
See, that's what's going to be cool, man. I've not seen that. I've always wanted to see Attack of the Mushroom People.
Yeah, I never got a chance to see it either because I remember back when I was doing Netflix with the discs, I was supposed to get Matango in the mail, and someone never returned it, so I never got it. So I was pissed.
Yeah. I remember that idea. I remember the Netflix to the disc. Yeah, I didn't get Cannibal Holocaust during that time period too, so I know your feelings, man. But anyways, yeah, we're gonna be doing Matango, and it's going to be a nice, simple episode, something big. And I think we might do a commentary after that. It's been a while since we did a Cinema Attack commentary. Not sure what we're going to do yet, but that should be fun. I'm not really, you know, we talked about it like on the last show when we did a list. I think my list for 2020 is not going to happen this year, guys. It's just I didn't have time to see a lot of movies. And the movies that I have seen, I don't feel comfortable enough putting on a top 10 list. If that makes sense.
That's fair, man.
Yeah, not much good out.
Well, there's been some heavy hitters. I just haven't seen them yet either. So, but I don't want to. Because by the time we end up seeing them, and if we even see them, if we actually plan the show, it would be like too late to even do one of those lists, anyways. Yeah, whatever. Maybe we'll do like a catch up and do like something later. And plus, you never know because 2021 might be better. So we'll do that. Yeah. But anyways, guys, that's it for us. You know, we'll be back soon with Matango episode 5-0. And check us out on the Dark Discussions Network where we're just brewing up there. And yeah, we're going to leave you off with something Christmassy right now. So, we'll be back right after this, guys. See you then. Peace.
Merry Christmas.
Later, guys. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays and stay safe and hopefully, well, we'll see you before then, but Happy New Year too.